Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, August 26th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a new funding plan for Southwest Light Rail. Politics is a state fair tradition. The Minnesota Nurses Association says nearly 5,000 of its members will walk off their jobs on Labor Day in an open-ended strike against five Allina Health hospitals in the Twin Cities. Mark Zadeklik reports.
The union says it filed its required 10-day intent to strike notice early this morning. The nurses are at odds with Allina over management's effort to move them onto its corporate health plans, which include more cost-sharing than the current nurses-only plans. In June, nurses held a one-week strike. The union hopes the upcoming open-ended strike will apply more pressure on Allina. Union officials say the workers will walk off their jobs a week from Monday at 7 a.m. at Abbott Northwestern Hospital, the Phillips Eye Institute, and Mercy United and Unity Hospitals. Allina has said if there is a strike, it intends to operate those facilities with replacement nurses. Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The latest effort to keep the Southwest Light Rail line on course depends on the Metropolitan Council and two local partners taking on a bigger share of the project costs. Governor Mark Dayton says he supports a new plan to have those entities come up with the remaining $144 million in public funding for the Minneapolis to Eden Prairie line. That commitment is considered essential toward unlocking about $900 million in federal money. The three entities in combination would have to approve borrowing or transfer more money to the project than expected because no state money was provided. Met Council Chairman Adam Dunick says it's either go that route or start pulling the plug on Southwest.
If there's not a state solution that occurs at the legislative level, the only options that are available to us are bad options.
But Republicans who question whether the $1.8 billion rail line should advance at all say it's a questionable strategy. Representative Tony Albright of Prior Lake objects to it.
I think that we are visiting and witnessing an end run on the legislative process.
The proposal to fill the funding gap still requires approval by the Met Council, the Hennepin County Regional Rail Authority, and the county's Transportation Improvement Board. A new study done at the University of Minnesota shows queen bees exposed to a common insecticide lay fewer eggs. Dan Gunderson reports.
The study found when bee colonies were exposed to low levels of neonicotinoid insecticides, bee behavior changed. Lead researcher Judy Wu Smart says it's the first study to show queen bees exposed to the chemical produce fewer eggs.
This study is showing that there are impacts or adverse effects on the queen's ability to lay and move around the hive and the colony's ability to function normally.
Affected bees also collected less pollen, and they didn't do as well at protecting the colony from pests and disease. The effect is more pronounced in small colonies. Wu Smart says that indicates honeybees are more vulnerable to insecticide exposure in the spring. Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio News, Moorhead.
And Governor Mark Dayton has issued an executive order restricting the use of some pesticides to reverse the decline of bee and other pollinator populations. Dayton made the announcement at the state fair today, joined by state agency heads and legislative leaders. He says that pollinators are crucial to the state's $90 billion agriculture sector, but he notes that they've been in decline the past decade. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump aren't likely to show up at the state fair this year, but their supporters are making the case to fairgoers whether they want to hear it or not. Tim Pugmire spent the day at the fair yesterday and found politicking underway even on the first day.
Inside the Minnesota DFL booth, U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar was giving a first day of the fair pep talk to the party faithful.
But thank you, everyone, for coming to the DFL booth, and let's win this election.
She also spent about an hour signing copies of her book. Klobuchar is not on the ballot this year. That gives her plenty of time to talk up the presidential candidacy of Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton, along with some criticism of Republican nominee Donald Trump.
I feel like our base of our party right now knows the arguments, and I feel like the independent voters, as you see from the polls, starting to say, you know, I don't want to take a risk on someone that has a temperament like Donald Trump.
Also at the DFL booth, fairgoers were posing for photos with life-size cutouts of Clinton, President Obama, and First Lady Michelle Obama. The Republican Party of Minnesota had its own set of cutouts for photos. There was one of Trump and running mate Mike Pence, and one of Clinton dressed in black and white striped jailhouse garb.
So we try to have a little bit of fun with things here in the booth, and we are really emphasizing this year the solutions that Republicans are offering.
Minnesota Republican Party Chairman Keith Downey kicked off the first day of the fair with a news conference that highlighted the party's election year messages. Downey was also talking up Trump.
People are very nervous about what's been going on in Washington, D.C., and we have an outsider candidate who has connected with everyday people in a way that Republicans haven't in a long time.
Candidates were a little harder to find on the morning of opening day, but there were a few. Republican 5th District Congressional candidate Frank Drake was shaking hands at the front of the GOP booth.
Hi, Frank Drake. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Lee.
Hi, Lee.
Drake, a political newcomer who's challenging incumbent DFL Congressman Keith Ellison, said he plans to spend several days campaigning at the fair. He said it's a good way to introduce himself to voters.
What I'm running up against is people don't know who I am. They don't know that there's an opposition to Keith Ellison. They know they knew they had a choice, they might say, I'm for that guy. I'm for the Drake.
Candidates of all political stripes like the state fair because they can see a lot of people in one place. And they like the timing of the fair. DFL House Minority Leader Paul Thiessen of Minneapolis paused on a relatively quiet fairgrounds corner to explain how campaign season traditionally moves into a different phase at the end of summer.
I mean, I think there's two things. There's the state fair and people going back to school. And that's when people start directing their attention to the business of, you know, the election coming up. So this really is a turning point. People are more engaged. They are more willing to kind of talk about specific issues instead of just getting to know the candidate.
The minor political parties are also making their presence known at the state fair. The official list shows the Constitution Party, Green Party, Independence Party, and Libertarian Party have locations. All four parties have their own presidential candidates on the Minnesota ballot this year. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you again here next week. Thank you.